bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line. You got us at 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Chris Snead, Kyla Carrasco behind the glass. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, people in certain professions that you know, but it doesn't mean you know about the profession. Or you do. Who knows?
I don't even care.
I don't even care either, Snead. Texas Tech taking on UConn tomorrow, 10:30. Scheduled.
You know the funny thing about it is people sit at baseball games and they all think that they're experts at officiating.
It's true. I'm surprised someone didn't send in. I have a friend who's an official.
Yeah, I have a friend who's an official, so I think I can make calls from the 17th row. I have season tickets, so I think I'm a better football coach.
I was going to see if you had any more.
Absolutely. Everyone knows how to run a pick and roll in basketball. Why are we in a 2-3 zone? What are we doing? We should be in a box and one. What's wrong with you, McCaslin?
This is a side discussion, but Gus, Aaron, and I had this discussion on Tech Talk like 4 months ago. It's funny whenever we like call out stuff or do the why are we doing this sort of scenario in football. Oh. We never do it with defense. Oh. We only do it with offense.
Like, No. Hey, you weren't here in the Spike Dykes era. And even, you know, the end of that, or even into the early Mike Leach era, when on the defense, you have to walk up a safety. Somebody said that on ESPN one time, and all of a sudden, every 17th row Lombardi thought, well, why are we walking up a safety? We gotta get a hand in the dirt. We gotta do that.
Yeah, it wasn't around for that, but you don't see that much now.
No,
right?
Absolutely.
Why are we running the cloud defense?
No,
come on, what are we doing?
Cloud coverage. Everyone knows you gotta throw underneath on a cloud coverage. What are we doing trying to throw over the top?
Why do we have one high safety? What are we doing out there defensively?
Yeah, come on. You know what I really love? I really love watching those guys going back and say, I rewatched the games. Here's my thoughts. Okay. You rewatched the game, and what do you think? You don't think that McGuire and those guys were over there rewatching the game too? Here's your thoughts. Oh, wait a second.
The film's kind of important.
But yeah, we're going to wait until Red Raider 3628 over here gets his thoughts in. Now we can make our game plan for the Iowa State game.
I feel like we did get a little bit of sour Snead. I feel like we got you there on accident.
Jiminy sakes.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry we got you there.
How can we call that? What are we doing here? Jiminy sakes. Clearly have to hit and run in this situation.
So now that we got you a little revved up over there, Snead, Texas Tech taking on UConn. Again, scheduled first pitch of 11. It's Florida. Rains all the time there anyways. I believe there is
usually in the afternoon,
moisture
though.
Anyways. So
the rain's usually in the afternoon. Isn't it?
I don't know anyone that lives
if
in Florida.
I only knew someone that lived in Gainesville.
My
crew chief lives in Gainesville. Why don't we call him?
Yeah, put him online. Put him on
actually,
the
I can't,
visual like, edge ID
he's on
online.
A cruise. He's on a cruise right now.
Ah, he's not doing anything, man. Yeah. Maybe we'll get a morning tipsy. Crew chief, noon tipsy.
I wonder if he's got the drink plan. I know he's got the drink plan.
Anyways.
Sorry, I'm...
No, it's okay.
I'm just in a bad mood right now.
I'm sorry. How are you feeling about this raging on? Let me ask it this way. If you put a percentage of a chance for Texas Tech to make it out,
what I saw it was like someone put it at 19%. That was like an official deal. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put it more like 10.
Yeah, that's about.
I said this. This regional goes this way: Tech wins, Tech loses, Tech loses, or it's Tech loses, Tech wins, Tech loses. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see Tech getting out of this with more than one win. And and the reason being, I think we're going to end up throwing Molina. I just don't think Tim's going to get away from the I'm going to throw my guy against your guy. So we're going to throw Molina, and if Molina pitches well and we hit a little bit, I think we can win a game 4-2. I think that's how that first game goes. And then you get into a situation where you're playing Florida the next night. You throw a Kyle Robinson, and they've got three guys who have 15 starts, 15 games. I mean, they're not special, but they're consistent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've got, what, 6-7-7 wins? You know, they don't go deep, but they get their wins.
Well, this is what it has seemed to me with Florida. I think when you look at the, like, top five seeds and you're trying to point out, like, Wake Forest,
pitching.
Yeah. The same thing with, like, an LSU. Florida,
they're a consistent team.
Consistent everywhere. I think they're the most well-rounded team in the tournament.
They might be.
At the high end.
They got a bunch of guys that hit 330 and a bunch of guys with 3.5 to 4.5 ERAs. Mm-hmm. And they just keep running them out there. Big, tall, long-legged dudes. Big, strong guys that can hit the ball out of the park. They got a guy that got 28 jacks.
Like
and 7 wins.
To me, it just seems like their biggest strength is that if pick a player that's having an off day, they have enough around to pick that guy up, and that could rotate.
Yeah,
depending on the day.
That is,
and that's from a mound standpoint and from a batting standpoint.
That's what Tech doesn't have, and I think it's a product of youth of this team. You know, the fact that you get on any given day 4 to 5 freshmen or redshirt freshmen in your lineup, and God, it's just a scary scenario. Should say 3 to 4, not 4 to 5.
And I'm not trying to look past UConn because that's going to be a terrific game one.
There, you know, UConn is just a northeastern version of Florida. Just a bunch of guys that are all consistent. You know, I mean, they're a well-rounded team. They're 15-5 in not a great baseball league, but it's not a bad baseball league either. Mm-hmm. And we said it from the get-go. You are what your record says you are. And they went 15-5 in that league. And they got upset in the championship game. And, by one of the other good teams in that league.
But they're a team of like an average conference coming in. A team that's, you know, even though they slip up there in the conference tournament, a head and shoulders above the rest.
Oh, yeah.
In that league that you're seeing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's a... Again, I'm not trying to look past UConn, but if I just went percentage that it's not Florida leaving this regional, here's it to that, not just Texas Tech.
Yeah, I would look at this. If you drop UConn into the Big 12, they'd be Texas Tech. They'd be like fifth or sixth. Mm-hmm. And if you drop Tech into the Big East, probably first or second. Just a different league.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's...
Well, there's a reason they're close on that seeding.
Yeah, this is the number 2 national seed, which means Texas Tech is the second highest 3 seed, which means that UConn is the 15th 2 seed. Mm-hmm. So we're actually very close in seeding.
Yeah. Okay, so if you have a – I'm not going to say just leaving the regional, headed to super regional, but if you just have a good – regional weekend, and you have a good showing, what's happened?
Tech went 3-0.
That's it?
That's the only way Tech gets out of this region.
Mm-hmm.
Can't play 4 games in this region.
Well, I'm just saying, if they do get a couple wins, but they fall just short and it's Florida leaving, what did that look like? Was it just all offense and you didn't have enough pitching?
Then here's what happened. You beat UConn. Kyle Robinson pitched out of his gourd against Florida. Mm-hmm. He did what he did against and the bats came to life, and you won a 9-5 game against Florida, maybe a 6-5 game. And then you came back, and someone had to beat you. Most likely Florida had to beat you twice. They probably beat you once, and then you won a slugfest 13-15 or 15-13. You have to win a slugfest somewhere.
That's where I've looked at it. It is one of those games you have to have double-digit runs. Here's the thing, though. Even with the Florida, if you go look up and down, They've allowed some double-digit games.
Yeah.
UConn has absolutely allowed some double-digit games. And yeah. So that's on the table, but it's just, do you get it done with your lineup?
You have to. One of the things that has to happen is, and Jamie said it this morning, and Hacks repeated it, 3, 4, and 5 in the lineup have got to be 3, 4, and 5. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys, when those guys are going, this lineup goes like those guys go. And you can't wait for someone at the bottom of the lineup to do it. I mean, there's a lot of guys looking around saying, who's going to be the guy that does this? Someone has to say, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to run over this hill, and y'all are going to come with me.
It's the bottom line, 100.7 The Score. When we come back, we'll have a feisty play of the day, 12:45. It's Kaylee's Daily. Let's keep it right here.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. About to give you a feisty play of the day. Clint Scott, Chris Snead, Kyler Carrasco. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that welcome there. We get this on the chat line. One would say the skies have continued to open up and dump. Yes, they have.
Don't say that to Chuck. Chuck would say there's only one sky. He hates when you say cloudy skies.
I forgot.
Under cloudy skies, there's only one sky.
Both the writer says, I have a friend that's a referee. Doesn't mean he knows how to run a foul ball race. Clay said, I know a man whose daughter is a marine biologist, but I know quite a bit about vinegaroons.
These folks are doing a good job of getting me back into a better mood.
Good.
Snarky because I was in a pissy mood when I walked in this morning.
Hey, we have a would you like a official question?
Sure.
That didn't really sell me on that.
Yes!
Okay, that's what I wanted. I wanted that. Rule of the game question. Mm-hmm. In one of the Celtics Heat game, the Heat called a timeout after a made Celtics field goal to advance the call to half court.
It's an NBA rule, huh? Okay.
After a made basket, this is probably going to get you back down to pissy sleep. After a made basket, the opposing team can run the baseline to throw the ball in. Can the person still move on the sideline after the ball gets advanced to half court, or is it a spot throw in? The Heat guy was moving side to side on the side with the referee right there. The announcers couldn't believe that there was not a call made.
It is a spot throw in, and you can't move around.
I don't know about you. I've said this before. And there's several things that people hate about the NBA. I get that. One thing that I hate is the advanced timeout. I can't stand it.
Well, they do that in women's basketball now, too.
Well, it makes no sense to me.
Well, it's a time-saving. It's an offensive deal.
No, I get it. And basketball, it's not just the NBA. Basketball is turned into help the offense as much as possible.
No, I don't disagree with you.
I get that is something with the offense. I don't like that it gives the offense advantage. Oh, by the way, you couldn't play defense on the other end after they went full court. You know what? Let's give you half the court.
Well, yeah. And how about this? When the NBA, up until about, was it 5 years ago? If you dropped into a zone defense, illegal defense, yeah. Shooting free throws. It's like, what are we doing here? We can't even play zone defense. You drop down, it's an illegal. You have to play man-to-man.
How do you feel about, did you see Jeff Van Gundy, what he threw out?
No.
He said a rule that he wants, because this is coming with the some of the time-saving rules that you've seen in baseball, okay. Some of the time-saving rules that are coming in football.
Okay.
He wants to do the same thing with basketball, but his thought process is, hey, get rid of free throws outside of the last 4 minutes, I believe, of each half. And so if you foul them on a layup, you just get the points. If you foul them on a three-point shot, they just get the points. I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It completely takes a facet of the game that is a learned skill and a practice skill.
Jeez, what is the dumbing down of basketball?
Yes, and it's like, hey, all of you kids.
Just give them the points. Hey, we're going to foul you, so you just get the points.
All of you kids that have been told since you were 3 years old, whatever, when you started Little Dribblers, hey, make sure after practice you do all those free throws. Don't worry about that anymore.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Let's just shoot threes and dunk.
Make them earn those points. No, we're not going to earn those points anymore.
And it's like,
it's going to give them to you.
I understood baseball because it feels like that was a drawn out sport. Now, again, I'm not the one to ask for baseball because I'm not the biggest fan of professional baseball.
Here's the deal. I love the cat and mouse of a pinch hitter, relief pitcher. Now, I would love to see a relief pitcher pitch to more than one guy. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that. And baseball's doing that now. You come in, you got to pitch to at least two guys or whatever, blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, I go to the baseball games not going, oh, my God, I can't believe we've been here for 2 hours and 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. I kind of love being at the ballpark. I don't mind being at a ballpark for 4.5 hours because I'm enjoying the baseball game.
I told this to Jamie, and I still stand by this. Those rules, especially from a professional baseball standpoint, were made for fans like me, and we're not the ones you should be catering the sport to because we already like it as much as we are going to like it.
Yeah, but well, actually, they've made all the rules in baseball for kids that are standing there holding their phones like this, mm-hmm. doing this in front of – and they need –
That's
they,
a good point.
Yeah, it has nothing to do
small
with me.
Small attention spans.
Yeah. The small attention span kiddos. And, you know, if you could turn baseball into a TikTok video, I mean, that's all there was. You'd sell it every game. But the fact of the matter is, by the time the kids are all.
That's the bananas.
Well, what is? That's all they want. I mean, hey, we just want the TikTok aspect. It's a microwave society. Mm-hmm. You know, you order at the clown mouth, you get your food out of the window. Mm-hmm. That's all they want. I mean, we're getting so lazy, we can't even go up to a counter anymore. And order, hey, can I get a hot dog and a beer? Mm-hmm. No, now I gotta shove my card into a slot and then walk into a place that I go over there and pick my hot dog in a box out there and mm-hmm. and walk out. So I don't even talk to anybody.
But to circle back, like, yeah. Okay, if you're going longest sports, baseball and football are significantly longer than basketball. Uh-huh. Who in the world has complained about basketball time? That is not their complaint with the NBA. That is not what they're not complaining about. If they're complaining, oh, we have to watch 2 hours of this, it's not because they want it condensed to an hour and a half. Well, it's because they don't want to watch your sport.
Do you know what? That's what really, it is. I mean, I'm probably biting the hand that feeds me here, but you know what makes TV, you know, TV is the one that's really making baseball and football really long. I mean, four TV breaks a quarter. Mm-hmm. They all last 3 minutes and 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're like, well, we gotta take the first down, stoppage of time after the first down. We got to take those 3 seconds out. Mm-hmm. That's slowing the game down. No, how about the four commercial breaks for 3 minutes and 45 seconds each? Oh, no, we're not going to take those out? Okay. All right, sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do the other things. Do the other ones we were talking about. We brought up first.
Yeah, we got to do all the other things here. So, I mean... I get it. Hey, I don't need anyone to tell me, yeah, that's what pays your salary. You're darn right it does. You know, and I'm happy for that. But it's the reality of it. I mean, it's TV is slowing down athletic events, mm-hmm. not pitching changes.
Again, the football one too. I didn't understand how many people were actually wanting like a shorter game, a quicker game. And well, maybe I'm just completely ignorant to
the
it.
The second thing slowing down football and baseball games are reviews.
Yes.
And everyone says, we got to get it right on the field because all those officials are idiots. Get the review out there. Why are we doing so many reviews? We're slowing down the game. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys wanted us to get the calls right.
That is an unwinnable situation.
Oh, absolutely.
That is an unwinnable situation.
And I'm just yelling back because I'm an old referee yelling at clouds right now. Skies. I know, yeah. I'm yelling at the skies.
All right. It's time for Kyler's feisty play of the day.
Tied at 8 in the bottom of the 10th, the pitch. Driven to deep left center field. Are you kidding me? Adios, muchacho.
A little UConn memory.
I was on a Zoom call in the stadium club, and I was sitting talking to the Balfour rep for the ring company about and the first home run happened. And I was like, okay. And then the second home run, I said, oh, we just tied it. And then the third one happened. I was like, oh!
We just walked him off.
Hey, everyone else on the Zoom call, is Steve okay? He's losing his mind. He's going insane.
So that was that Braxton Fulford, Cal Conley, and who's the third one?
Ooh. I thought Conley was the third one. Rombach was the second one.
Was it Rombach?
Is that wrong? Let me look it up.
Yeah, if we only had
some history. Nate Rombach, Cal Conley, and Braxton
Nate
Fulford.
Rombach.
I had the order wrong. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Braxton Fulford.
On me. Hey, you can hit us up on the 8th Floor Center chat line. Back for one more in hour number one. A full 3 hours with us today as we go all the way up to 3 o'clock on the bottom line. We'll get you a Kaylee's Dailies when we come back, and we'll get some of your thoughts off of that Yates Flooring Center chat line. Keep it right here on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. It's a Viking flip-flop feisty piranha edition. Kyler, you said you were calm because you didn't have to compete on anything today because you'll have take versus take questions. A little spoiler for what lies ahead at 1:30. Yeah. But you absolutely do have to compete because you're picking for the producers.
Ooh.
I just now realized that as soon as the music started playing, so I might have to change my personnel really quickly.
You said you were just Kyler, but I mean, does this turn you into Kathy, Katie?
Maybe just
Krissa?
Katie.
Just
so
Katie?
Katie's just like the middle ground. It's not too much, but it's not normal either. So
This music makes me feel like I'm in Street Fighter.
Like it's like you're walking in slow motion, just like.
Oh man! Well, I see like the fighters like. You can't see this if you're listening, but imagine how Ryu is in the games or how Chun-Li is in the games, and I feel like I'm basically doing that.
Can you give us your best Hadouken?
Hadouken!
I feel like I'm back at the nice. Brat bowling arcade. All right.
Name any other Street Fighter move.
No, I don't have one.
Okay.
That's the one I know.
Okay.
That's the one I remember. At least that's the one I remember where they yelled.
Yeah.
What it was.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Blanka?
Yeah.
See the green guy
with
crazy?
Yeah, he's the guy who goes all electric.
Yeah.
That was his move, but I don't know if he screams anything.
Take a guess. I would love nothing more than for you to take a guess.
It's probably like shock or something like that.
All right. I just distracted myself with that. Thank you.
Nice.
I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
This makes me think of Chris Berman. So,
okay.
Best 3 minutes in sports. We'll start out with the NBA Finals. Josh, you're up first. When we reconvene, games 1 and 2 will have been played. What are the... give me the Nuggets record. That's what I want over the next 2 games. Both at Denver, if that helps.
Yeah, okay. I'll give them a split. I'll do 1 and 1.
Okay. Kyler?
I think I'm going 2-0.
I'm with Kyle. I think the Chicken Nuggies go 2-0 to start this thing off. I think this will be home favorite throughout. I have this going 5 games. I know people have doubted the Heat the whole way, but I really do think the Nuggets are just playing on a whole different planet of basketball right now.
Okay.
We'll go to the Major Leagues. 2 series to pick here. First, Texas, who's off today. They just won a series against Detroit. They'll start a home series against Seattle, 3 games starting tomorrow. You can hear that 6:30, double T97.3. Kyler, who wins this series, the Rangers or the Mariners?
I'm going Rangers.
Give me the Rangers as well.
I'll do Mariners just to be different.
I forgot. Last time you picked for Jamie, that's how you got flip flop because that's what Jamie called you.
Really?
He was mad at you. So we'll see what happens. Game 1 for the Astros of a 4-game set at home against the Angels starts tonight, 6:40, 100.7 The Score. So, can either pick a winner or a split, which is what I will take. I will take a 2-2 split in this series.
Okay. I'll do split also. I don't feel heavily for one of
them. Me too, actually.
Boo. Fine.
Not very exciting. Fine. Sorry.
whatever.
We're all going to agree on something.
Yeah.
But of all the ones, like, to agree on is where you have three different options. Oh, wait.
No.
Let's get to regional play where we have four different options. All right, I need a regional winner for all of these. We'll start out with South Carolina, the only non-Big 12 regional we'll pick, because, of course, this is the other side of your regional.
Okay.
You have the options, Josh, of South Carolina, Campbell, North Carolina State, or Central Connecticut.
Give me Campbell.
Oh, okay.
I don't know much about it, so.
Well, they're the second seed.
Okay.
That's actually a good pick. Do you know?
No, nothing at all.
I'm going South Carolina.
I agree with Josh.
Cool.
The Camels.
Yep.
Also, give you a chance to say, my humps. They pitch it off the bump.
Oh.
Check it out. Yeah, I'll take Campbell as well.
The soups.
Yeah. The cigarettes. The Joe Cools. Arkansas is where we will go next. Of course, okay. They are hosting TCU, Arizona State, and Santa Claus, Clara. Kyler, who comes out of this regional?
Arkansas.
Yeah, I think the Razorbacks as well.
Arizona State.
Arizona,
sorry. I thought Arizona State.
The Wildcats. We'll go to Stillwater.
Okay.
Oklahoma State, who's hosting Dallas Baptist, Washington, and Oral Roberts. Yeah, give me the Cowboys.
Yeah, I was headed that way too.
I just would like Tech to switch with Oklahoma State really quickly.
We all would, yeah.
And that would just be perfect.
So who are you taking?
Oklahoma State.
You're taking Oklahoma State as well. Cowboys sweep there. We'll go to Coral Gables. I had to think about that one for a second. Miami is hosting Texas, Louisiana, and Maine. Josh, who comes out of this regional?
Maine.
The four seed?
Yeah.
Josh, Jamie might kill you. I'm giving you an option to reassess.
All right, fine. All
nope,
right, give
you,
me.
Never mind. I take it back.
All right, I'm just kidding. Let's ride with it.
You want the Black Bears of Maine.
Do I want them?
You're picking the. I'm just giving you the option here.
Well, that wouldn't be, like, kosher to, like, suddenly give me the option to do so.
Okay, it's up to you.
No, I'm gonna take Texas.
Okay. Jamie, I don't want Rat Tail Jamie to waltz down to your office. All of a sudden, he's wearing the lugs on his feet.
You know what?
And just curb stomping.
Hey, you know what? He put me in this chair, so it's his fault.
So Texas?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm also going Texas.
Oh, man. You know what? I was going to because I thought you guys would take Miami. So I will switch. I'll go with the Canes.
Before I picked Maine, I really was going to lean into Miami, but then I did not.
I don't want Texas to win.
No, yeah.
I just feel like it's going
to
happen because they just somehow.
You guys are both Longhorn fans. That's all you have to say.
I'm going to go now, actually. I'm just going to walk out with it.
We'll go to Lexington, Kentucky, hosting West Virginia, Indiana, and Ball State. Kyler, who walks out of this regional?
I'm going West Virginia.
I'm
going
to take the Mountaineers as well.
Yeah, me too.
I think Kentucky has the least hostile hosting environment.
Mm.
I also think all the teams will be mad at them since they've had so many hotel problems and they are in dorms.
That's bad.
Yeah, we're going to take it out on the Wildcats. Virginia is hosting East Carolina, Oklahoma, and Army. Give me East Carolina to come out of this regional.
Say them one more time.
Virginia hosting East Carolina, the Sooners, and Army.
East Carolina.
Sweep.
East Carolina sweep. All right. Take that, Cavaliers. That means they're just about to go flush.
Last year they did good. I can't remember who it was against in the regionals.
Mm-hmm.
They just had a good year last year, too. They just randomly just got good in regionals, so I feel like they'll do it again.
Get good.
All right, last but not least, and we'll get a tiebreaker as well. Over in Gainesville, you'll hear Game 1 starting tomorrow at 10:30 over on Double T97.3. Florida, UConn, Texas Tech, and the Rattlers of Florida A&M. Josh?
I'm going to pick hopeful. Mm-hmm. That's what I was trying to say.
With your heart.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to pick Texas Tech. Yeah.
Okay.
In a hopeful manner.
Kyler?
I'm going to also, this is like, I think this is the first time that I've actually picked Tech like in the projections because I've been so like paranoid about it. Yeah. But this time I'm just, because it's obviously winner go home. So mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go for them this time also.
Yeah, it's going to be the Gators.
Fair enough.
I hope you two are correct.
Yeah.
And for a tiebreaker, how many runs does Tech score in whatever regional play holds for them? Kyler?
I think I'm going lucky number 11.
Shoot. Some games it's not been great. I'm going to do 7.
Just, that's a short stint for both of you. That's yeah. Bad stints. Although, I mean, Texas Tech played in 4 games of regional play last year, and that was about 11 runs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take, well, now I just want to go 12 and just take the over. I was coming in with like 20, but I'm going to do gamesmanship here and give me 12.
Nice.
That's the tiebreaker anyways.
That's a good way to win.
We used the tiebreaker for the first time last week.
Mm.
So,
what was the tiebreaker?
That's a really good question. It's been a long time since then. Oh, how many hits would Josh Young have in the Baltimore series?
Okay, cool.
That's what it was.
You know what I realized? I picked Tech hopefully, and then I did a very huge disservice to them picking the runs. So that was not so
that great. Always cracks me up on like College Game Day when they have the pick 'em and they have the guest picker, and it's always like for every single school that person's like, oh, I had a friend that went to West Virginia, let's go Mountaineers, you know, like completely. And they have something, my sister's cousin's wife's best friend's
former roommate,
oh, they used to go to Louisiana, give me the Raging Cajuns. It's about 100.7 score. Take versus Take next.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
All of the figurative marbles once again up for grabs. One day we will bring real marbles and then we'll... Do you actually know how to play marbles?
Shooting them and stuff? I know how to. I'm not good at it. But, I mean, the basic rules, I guess.
And like...
Vaguely
keeping like shooters and stuff like that. I used to know it was like marbles was Kansas grade school shooting craps for a while.
That's how we treated it. You mentioned like shooters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I less so, and as I think about it more, I think I'm forgetting more the names of each one. Like there was the really big marbles, and then mm-hmm. there was like I don't remember the names.
I just remember that one were.
Oh, okay.
Those were the.
Yeah, yeah. Those
were
your, gotcha. Okay.
I don't know. I guess the other ones were just
marbles.
Bystanders. But Scott, Josh Poppel. We are tied to Take versus Take. Kyler Carrasco asking the questions and awarding the points. Would you like to re-ask the final question as Josh and I are at a 1-1 standoff?
Yes. I tried to find a little drum roll sound, but none of them were very good. So y'all can just make it for me. So the final question was, I told them to tell me the shoe of their sport of choosing that they would have created for them from a fake brand that they made up, and they're going to describe to me the sport that they will be playing in the pros with, and they would be wearing the shoe with, and then the brand that they created and what their shoe would look like. So I'll let Clint go first. He seemed to have his idea before Josh, so true. I'll let Clint mm-hmm. go first. So the stage is yours.
The brand is called Viking with a stress on the king.
That's good.
Right?
That's good.
And for the logo, it's clearly on both sides two Viking horns.
Like the Viking, so unoriginal.
Yes. Yeah. Then maybe a little circular shield on like the toe, and that would be the brand. So horns on the side, shield on the toe.
How right do you walk top. With these?
In what
no, no, no,
sport?
Just
what
the brand. Sport? Just like an just the image on
okay.
the shoe. It doesn't actually have
okay.
horns. And this okay. is a sorry, and I skipped a step. Yes, it would be for basketball okay. because I mean if you're gonna make a money off shoe, like that dominates.
Yeah.
That wrecks the other sports and it's not even close. So also for me playing, it would have been basketball because that was my favorite. So basketball, Viking, maybe we do a little VK off there too so people will know what it is. But the stress is the Viking horns on the side and then the shield on the toe.
Is this a high top or low top?
High top. Oh, high top.
Because you know these days people be wearing basically tennis shoes on the court.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I'm going high top because if I'm going to wear my own shoe, I need the high top. Yeah. So my ankles don't need that non-support. Oh, look at that guy rolling his own ankles in his own shoe.
In literal his own shoe.
Okay, Josh, your turn.
Okay, so I only very briefly played high school sports, but I was in marching band. And so my shoe is going to be specific to marching band. It's going to be to the... They're not technically... they are professionals because they are getting paid for this. The competitive... I can't remember what they're called. The drill leagues, basically. Phantom Regiment. Let's go. The shoe is going to be a rounded heel designed to... I mean, that's basically what all the shoes do. But the difference between this one and basically every other marching shoe that's kind of out there is it's going to look like an athletic shoe. So and the accents are going to be specific, and you can alter the colors and stuff, buy them in different colors to match the different colors of the different drum corps. That's what they're called, drum corps. And yeah, the accents are at the very tip of the tongue of the shoe, around the edges, just above the
tip of the tongue, the teeth, the lips. Sorry.
Good. Just above the sole. So for some really sharp accents on those. And yeah, it's gonna be called just because it's my brand, it's gonna be called Letters JM, and it's gonna be written in cursive. On the side, like, you know, almost in italics.
You really missed a chance to do athletic flip-flops for the first time.
Nah. I'm not a flip-flop guy.
Do you have your marching band outfit? Because just wear it to work one day, please.
But you have to march.
No, they're very expensive.
You cannot walk normally.
You have to be marching.
March
the
entire I have to march time. Everywhere. I still do when I have to carry something backwards. Doing a backwards march is very efficient for preserving momentum.
I've never seen it. I'll have to pay more attention to it. But
forward march doesn't really do anything. But if you're like if you're carrying a desk, not something super heavy, but you know, rather than like rocking back and forth and stuff, it's pretty effective.
I'm gonna give the point to Clint on
this
one.
Yeah, I figured.
Only because I could actually see him wearing Viking, and I could even see him having it like as his last name, like on the back of the jersey too.
Go ahead and change the name.
Yeah,
gonna remember
just,
Scott.
Just change your whole
nothing.
Your whole name.
Yeah,
there is a Russian social media company called VK, so you would have trouble securing that domain.
Yeah, I'll fight them. I'll do it. That's all you have to do, right? It's not like lawyers and contracts and things like that. Just whoever
you have to fist fight Vladimir Putin.
I'll be putting him in his place.
Oh, that was good.
Thank you. This on the chat line from Shelly Josh. There's no way to make Ben shoots cool. He'll tell.
Yeah. Well, it was my attempt at it.
No, I loved the answer. I really did. When you started off with in marching band, it made me.
I saw
made
that.
Made me giggle.
Yeah.
I was not ready for that.
You had to leave the mic for a second.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the question of the day.
Jamie's question of the day on 100.7 The Score is presented by Bizarre Solutions. Call them today for a free cybersecurity audit.
All right, so let's go to the Texas Tech football schedule. Now, we saw 5 game times / networks announced yesterday. They were all evening games for the Red Raiders. And if you missed it, they announced all 3 of your non-conference. And then 2 conference games. I'll run through them real quick. September 2nd at Wyoming to kick off your season is a 6:30 start time on CBS. September 9th, that game here in Lubbock against Oregon is a 6 o'clock start time on Fox, Big Fox. September 16th, your game against Tarleton State, 6 o'clock ESPN+. And we jump into 3 games? Into the Big 12 play. Your Thursday night game against TCU on November 2nd. That is a 6 o'clock start time on Fox Sports 1. And then your Ender at Texas, November 24th, 6:30 ABC. So those are known, which means you've got 7 that we will wait and find out. I want to know if you could book one more game and know now, circle it definitively now, that it will be an evening primetime game. What opponent
would you want that to be?
Ooh, that's a good one. Hmm. Now I have to look up the schedule.
No, I get it.
Let's see. If I had to pick a team, or if I had to pick a game, I would probably pick... I'm probably going to pick BYU.
Night game over there in Provo?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a chance that is a night game anyways, just because of where you're going.
The reason I'll pick that game is because, well, we already know that, you know, we're going to end up seeing what they look like in the next few years and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. it's going to be a good opportunity for that to see what's incoming. You know, we're going to be playing them mm-hmm. fairly frequently. So might as well get that off to like a big show, you know.
Well, it's a big show. Yeah. Okay, I like it. Kyler?
I'm going to go with the Kansas State game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a home game, mm-hmm. and I feel like if it was – they're a good team, so I feel like if it was at night and – I don't know. I feel like Tech games at night, they're just better
yeah.
in general than morning games. Like, no one likes the morning games. Like, people go, but they like the night games more. And mm-hmm. if it's a – like, I just feel like it would just be a better game because it's going to be a difficult game for Tech to win already just because they're good. Mm. So I think that would be cool to have that.
Yeah, if it's prime time – big time window. I went where Kyler went because I want it to be at home and I want to give us that kind of atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at like the rest of your home games, because that would leave the home game decision up to either Houston, Kansas State, or Central Florida, as far as who we don't know right now. And to me, the most appealing matchup is that defending Big 12 champion Kansas State team that you have struggled with coming in here. I would love for that to be an evening primetime game. I think that'd be awesome. Because I also really do think that that'll have a lot, much like I think your game against Texas will, I think that will have a lot to do with who's one of the two teams going to Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let us know what you think on the Ace Warren Center chat line. We'll be back with hour number three when we come back right here, 100.7.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hour number three of the Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Appreciate you joining us on a Thursday edition as we're live from the First United Bank Studio. We being myself, Clint Scott, with Josh Flip Flop Fopple and Kyler. That's a new one.
I thought you were like trying to like make a name or rhyme or something.
You know what? That's what I was doing. Okay. Kyler Feisty, Piranha Carrasco, live from the First United Bank Studio. But let's go to the Visual Edge IT Hotline. We're live on location from Gainesville, Florida. We have the Tad Lad himself, Mr. Jamie Lint. Jamie, have you ran into any alligators yet?
Man, I have been searching. This morning went on a little walk, and there was all sorts of ponded areas around, and I was staying close to the water for hopes that one would jump out, and I could run away quickly and tell you guys that I tamed a gator,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately, I gave them plenty of opportunities, and none of them wanted a piece of this. So far, I'm failing in my attempt to see a live gator in the wild.
I don't think you're failing at it, Jamie. I think you are just such a physical presence that they're scared of you. If you've given them the opportunity, because they're there, but they're scared of you.
Yeah.
Feels a little like you're kissing up right now.
Yeah, I feel like I've got there's plenty of meat on the bone here with this Mountain Dew belly of mine. So I feel like I should be pretty enticing to them.
Ah, Mountain Dew belly horse name. All right, Red Raider Baseball starting up. Tomorrow, 10:30, double T, 97.3. First opponent up is UConn. What are your most important things for the Red Raiders to do well in regional play to have a successful weekend?
So I think it starts with the starting pitching being good. Coach Tadlock announced a little while ago that Mason Molina would be the starter tomorrow against UConn. So I think it starts with him pitching well. After that, I think we've got to see the middle of this lineup get going. 3, 4, and 5 just were really quiet in the Big 12 tournament. They were pretty quiet towards the end of the season. And if you're going to make a deep run here as the 3 seed, knock off, you know, not only the number 2 seed in UConn and eventually the number 1 seed in Florida, I think you got to see those guys get going.
How much have you kind of been, I guess, around the team? Have you been able to tell a vibe with them there? What's the team been like that you've seen?
No, I think the, you know, the 2-2 run at the Big 12 tournament, obviously it ended very disappointingly, but I don't think they're, you know, there's a hangover. I don't think they're kind of stuck worrying or thinking about that. I think at this point they are, you know, focused on what's in front of them. I think that's all but forgotten. Maybe it's a positive thing and that they've learned from it. When maybe they took their foot off the gas pedal a little bit in that second game Saturday night, and it ultimately ended up costing them. Coach Tadlock has talked about, well, maybe that experience will be a good thing for this team. You just never know how they're going to take it. But I think the team's been upbeat. I think they're all excited to be here playing against a SEC team possibly at some point this weekend and in a big setting like this, beautiful ballpark. So I think they're really excited about being here.
So, you know, not going to overlook UConn by any means, but Florida is hosting for a reason. What stands out about the Gators?
The first thing that stands out is they have 3 weekend starters who have started all 15 appearances for them have been 15 starts. Their weekend starters have not changed the whole year on the mound. And that's pretty rare, and that's obviously a lot of consistency that's been a benefit to them. That being said, Clint, all three of them have ERAs in between 4 and 5. So it's not like they're unhittable. The other thing that would stand out to you is their power hitter, who happens to be one of their weekend starters as well, Caglione, who has 28 bombs this year. Mm-hmm. The guy's a stud first baseman, a stud pitcher, a stud hitter, going to be a star in the major league Sunday. And so that stands out as well about this Florida team. But you look at the home run numbers, not, you know, out of this world for anybody compared to the Red Raiders. You look at UConn, they definitely run more than the other teams here. But pitching numbers are all pretty similar with those top three teams. So it doesn't, on paper, as you look at it, doesn't look like one team is just so much better than the others.
You know, something we had talked about before, ultimately what the selection was for headed to the Gainesville Regional, you know, was matchups. And maybe if you find yourself in a regional with hopefully average pitching, maybe plays to your strengths. For me, I kind of feel like you got that, but how do you feel about the draw as a whole?
Yeah, I think it's a tough draw. Obviously, there's good teams. I think UConn was a team that thought they had a chance to be a regional host. They're a team that spent a lot of time in the top 10 this year. Florida is really, really good, and they play in the SEC, where we know it's, you know, the best baseball being played in the country. But I don't think, you know, the Red Raiders are caught up in any of that. I don't think that the matchup is one where it feels like, oh, you're going to be outclassed against those teams. I feel like, you know, the Red Raiders and Coach Tadlock kind of talked about this a little bit on Monday, still feel like there's more for them. They're better than they've shown. It's just a matter of, can they put it together? And I know up to this point they haven't. And there hasn't been a ton of consistency, and it's kind of now or never. So you feel like if they can get that, if you get that team that's kind of clicking, where, you know, the offense has been good at times and the pitching has struggled, and then vice versa, if you can get that together, then they absolutely can compete in this regional.
Jamie, thanks for coming in and spending part of your time there in Florida with us here back in the LBK. Just real quick, before we say goodbye and let you go on with your day, will we get a regional Jamie Lint meep meep in the broadcast this weekend?
I will. I'll see if I can fit it in. I kind of forgot about that. I will. I will do my best to get a meep meep in there. No promises. We'll see how things are going. But I will. I will give it the old college try.
Well, you may have forgotten about it, but we certainly have not. So we are putting all of our hopes in that meat basket for one Jamie. Okay. All right, Jamie. Appreciate your time, man.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. That was the Tad Lad himself, Jamie Lint, on the call with Jeff Haxton, 10:30 over on Double T 97.3. You know, Josh, I don't know if you, I don't know if we'd ever talked about it, but the meet that was going into the game over at ACU that originally got rescheduled, part of it, and turned into a doubleheader, one and a half type setup over here. And my gut feeling was he was absolutely going to give us one. Like, he seemed like he meant it.
Yeah.
And it was going to be the time. It was a midweek game. You know, just slip it under the radar real quick, just enough, you know, for us to get it. And then weather delayed. And then we didn't get it on the second go-round. So, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Do you feel like it's a now or never situation?
Yes.
You
just, yes. I feel like if it does not happen against UConn, it's not going to happen in a more, you know, not that UConn isn't going to be stressful, but, you know, if you lose that game.
Yeah.
And then you're down to, okay, can't lose again. I feel like it's not going to happen in like a stressful situation.
Yeah.
So
that's fair.
I do feel like it's UConn or bust. All right. When we come back, we will tell Josh that he is wrong. Appreciate again Jamie Lint coming on the Visual Edge IT Hotline, where all of our guests appear. But you can call us there as well, 806-771-0973. It's the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.